So we have a topic today. It's about Krishna and cows in the Vedic times. In Vrindavan, this topic is of vital importance because it leads to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire to establish the Vrindavan system, where four varnas and four ashrams are divided according to the guru karma. Many times people who want to retain their status quo and yet want to evolve into Krishna consciousness and be part of the Vrindavan system. Many a times we try to keep adjusted their inclinations, to keep their so-called jobs and incorporate with him Krishna consciousness. Many times we also see some difficult cases out there, that how that this particular job will become use in Krishna's service. Particular job. Somebody is a researcher. Nasty job. A medical research is the nastiest, where we have to take lives of animals. How that can be done? Oh, people may argue that it will be for betterment of humankind, but we never see that such recommendations are there. But for time being, we tell them that since it's a matter of life, it's a very precious commodity, and it can never be traded by any price. So by taking the life, you can't make anything better for the life. So this involves so many situations. Recently in Sydney, Australia, I was traveling. One of the neighbors of our temple in Sydney, he had a dilemma. He had been a resident of Australia for almost 20-25 years. And he has been working in an Italian restaurant as a cook. And he has to cook meat, I think. So he attends program every day, everything, but he cannot give up his job. It's a great challenge how to tell him that yes, this can be also adjusted for Krishna consciousness. But we get the alternative. Take a time limit and start your own restaurant, which will be vegetarian. You have enough to save, enough to invest, but you have to do a little courageous step. So it reminds something of the practicality of converting anything and everything into Krishna's service. Certain things are done, and they have to be strictly followed. And first and foremost is, you know, anything pertaining to meat. So, how to incorporate our activity according to guna. In Krishna consciousness, well, four of the four regulative principles, anything that is supporting those principles that can be regulated, that is allowed, anything that does not support, sustain the regulation. The first and foremost thing, and it's a question that Kali Yuga starts with, how can we ever be abstained from this? We chant the holiest prayer in the oblation. Right now the fire sacrifice is going on. And the ultimate oblation will be Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Itaya, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo. Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, the entire welfare activity of the whole world is dependent upon protection of Brahman and Kama. And Krishna showed how to do it. Lord Shri Krishna became so much exemplary for the ideal person, ideal to give the entire humanity the most beneficial, most welfare activity based on karma protection and intelligent class Brahma protection. You see, Krishna is not simply fond of tending cows. Chintamani prakara satma shukalpa bhukshara kushara kresha surabhira vipalem. Surabhira vipalem. Krishna, Prabhupada said Krishna has a hobby to tend the Surabhi cows in Vrindavan. But this hobby teaches us so many things that the entire welfare of the whole humanity, not only humanity, but every living entity is dependent on Surabhi cows. Why Nanda Maharaj would have 100,000 cows? Why they were so much fond of raising cows? Not to open slaughter houses. Sometimes we see that even in the Shastra, the charity by the Brahmins given in terms of cows, the charity of the cow is because cows sustain the whole humanity. The entire economics is based on sustenance of the cows, cow protection. Not only protection, protection is a kind of word of an endangered species. They require protection. But Krishna is Go Brahmana Hitaya. Hita means welfare. There is protection and welfare, two things are different. Protection can be of an endangered species, but it is the welfare. Every living entity is entitled for the welfare. And Krishna knew that Kali Yuga is going to come. He has to show the way how to execute the best welfare of the entire humanity on the basis of the welfare of the cows. That is called Hita. Hita means welfare. or the benefit of. So protection is not a good word, our protection. You are protecting from harm, then, but how about maintaining them? How about treating them? How about their welfare? Welfare is a very sensitive word. So, go Brahman Hita is Jagat Hita. If there is no go Brahman Hita, there is no Jagat Hita. There is no welfare. And we see, there is no welfare in the modern world. People are trying to do some welfare activity, but and giving away some money is not good. In Australia they call it dog, and in America they call it unemployment compensations. All these different kind of welfare activities, they are not real welfare. It doesn't say, no, you do your own, whether you use in sense gratification activities, we don't care. After all, the government spends the buck and the buck is going to stop at the doorsteps. So they are not worried. Where will the dollar end? It will end in the government's desk. The buck stops here, they say. So the point is, Jagat Hitaya depends upon Go Brahman Hitaya. And we see, Prabhupada jokes that Krishna has a hobby to tend the sufi cows, and men have hobbies to tend dogs. It's called Doga Abhipalayantam. Doga Abhipalayantam. And Prabhupada cracks a joke on it. The modern world, modern civilization is interested in Doga Bipala, Keta Bipala, the pets. Krishna's pet is a pet has a particular affection. A pet generates special or a particular affection. And this affection is coming from one's heart. Affection is there when love is there. Yeah? Otherwise there is no affection. But the affection will turn into regret or anger, because it's a misplaced love. It's called lust. So there is no real therefore, people become impersonal, careless, and neglect. Now, Govanta is glorified by Mudhati affection. And Prabhupada tells that there are seven mothers. Atma-mata. Guru Bhakti, Rajputrika, Dhenu Bhakti, Tathapi. There is a correlation between the earth and cow. When earth is overburdened, she takes shape of cow. Dharma depends upon the cow and the progeny. That's the Buddha. So these are not allegorical expressions. These are actually actual points of realization that can be seen. I've been telling that since Kali Yuga started, the entire economy has bit depending upon cow by protection during Christmas time in many times, and it is still dependent upon cow but by slaughter. The world economy is tainted with the blood of cows. So the difference is, cow remains the sustainer of the economy, even in modern world. But the difference is that Krishna's plan is a saner plan, and we have right now insane plan of sustaining the economy. It is so treacherous. The Vedic wisdom and the entire welfare, they came from this tract of land of Bharatavarsha. It's the second largest producer of beef in the world today. It's an insane civilization. They think technology, nuts and bolts, they will be their sustenance. So, in any case, the economy might seem to be booming, but at the cost of corruption. Is it going to last long? It will crumble like World Trade Center. It will crumble. It will be smashed. India has been from the very beginning agrarian community. An agrarian nation is still depending upon the agriculture. Over 80% of the entire economy is dependent on. But this modernization, the railway line and everything, put up such a change in the trend of sustaining the economy that a poor farmer feels stupid in front of the rest of urban civilization, and he has to travel far wide spaces but this modernization, the railway line and everything, put up such a change in the trend of sustaining the economy that a poor farmer feels stupid in front of the rest of urban civilization, and he has to travel far wide spaces to save his crops. While previously, the entire economy was calculated upon how much land do you have, how many cows you have, and how many children. These are the three measures. And the rest of the things of the commodity or daily need were bartered through the products of the cows. People would give charity not only as a welfare activity, but also trading in opulence by cows, number of horses, number of human beings that go along in the dowry with the maid servants. When Vasudeva and Devaki got married, Devaki's father gave so much. And this were the opulences. So, that the point is, it's a matter of economy that is also still dependent upon the cows. paternal instinct. And it has crept in such deeply in the society that we end up directly or indirectly the consumer of the product of culture. You check out from your toiletry lists how many products are being used that we have. Household products. You name it, you have it. Not only in the toilet, but we have to be sure, even in fire jacket, if we use ghee, whether it is a taro purchased from a retailer shop or pure. We had an experience in about 4 years back. We were installing deities in Allahabad, and the fire sacrifice was started, ignited, but it would never catch a fire. It would smoke. It poured so much ghee that it would never catch a fire. It was a white transparent liquid in the name of ghee. It came from a retailer shop. So you can imagine what could it be. So it is penetrating on the altar and the sacred places. Kali is progressing. But meanwhile, how can we fulfill the desire of Shukra in establishing the Devivarasam system? Where would be the responsibility fall? If you read in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the chapter of ideal family life, the first and foremost suggestion for an ideal family life to accept the trade of Vaishya. For an ideal family life, according to the Devivarasam system, one should accept a Vaishya trade. Good Krishi Gaurakshya Vanijyam Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. Krishi Gaurakshya and Vanijyam. When Krishi is there, Vanijyam is there, Gaurakshya is there, Vanijyam is there. So, the point is that grahasthas can really turn the whole economical picture upside down. Therefore, Prabhupada was interested to start the agrarian community, and he himself started the project in Chittanagiri, in Pennsylvania, simply based on cooperation. So, deep down, from every analytical point of view, we see that cows are given as much predominant place as Brahmins, for nobody else would have much predominance in Krishna consciousness. Cows and Brahmins. Say 50-50 should be devoted for the Brahminical society and the Vaishya society. So this should be the major task that ISKCON has to accomplish for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, and that was the milestone in establishing the Devivarasam system. we say devotional. Devotionally, the cows are most worshipable. There are only two living entities, they are in the form of pure devotees. One is Tulsi Maharani and another is a cow. You may question about a human being, whether he is pure or impure. But these two living entities are found to be purest existence. And yet we do not pay much attention. We are looking for pure devotees. Here are two pure devotees. Watch out, watch out. No, they pull it out. So, devotionally, it is said that in the embodiment of a cow, all the 33 crores of demigods reside. And these demigods, they are managers of material affairs. And material affairs means material manifestations and earth being the most sustainable portion for supporting the lives of everyone. So the dharma has direct relationship with the sustaining element, R-A-T-T dharma, to protect the nature. It is but the natural duty of a devotee. Protect the nature, protect the cows, protect the earth, stop polluting it. The abuse starts from the pollution of the consciousness and it spreads from subtle to gross level. And human civilization is affected by that consciousness, polluted consciousness. Therefore, in devotional service, worshipping cow on the past to me, that shown by Lord Krishna himself, is the most ideal situation. That it is not a symbolic worship, but it is a factual worship. For that what you call expanded consciousness. Our consciousness should be expanded by the worship of the cows. Why they have to be worshipped? It's not simply for the sentiments. Of course, welfare means we have to treat the cows. Even if they are sick, we have to treat them. It's a humongous task, but it is very well appreciated. People have some sympathy and they know only the external aspect, but and then they help out, you know, in establishing such goshalas. We have one run by Kurmarupa Prabhu as for the sick and, you know, unhealthy cows. It's just like infirmary for the cows. In Ludhiana we have one of the biggest operations that some of our congregational members started. It's a humongous, over 1,000 cows. They have virtually taken out every cow from the street. You won't see a cow on the street. And they are nicely housed and being treated. They start with the worship of the cow. Their mandalati starts with the worship of the cow. There are sentiments also involved, but at the same time, we should, because it is part of the cow protection program, it is well appreciated. The point is, here we have to understand that how to take care of the cows. We can't take the economically viability of keeping the cow. No. They are mothers. Mothers are not counted whether or if I keep my mother in my house, she will be an economic burden to me. We never count because there is inherent love. So why not for the mother of all work? Why people are counting her as an animal? Because some envious mentality. It's a propagation or the propaganda that has been done in the name of some interpolation of Yajurveda. Atharva Veda. And such subject take predominance in the political circle and they promote it. Just like the Congress, they never stand because they employed such historians and they even teach in the school books. Even the Prime Minister of India did then, when she was shocked by some reactions of fanatics. Her quotation is, I didn't know that the beef can be eaten because it is given in Atharva Veda. There are so many interpolations. There are quotations in Atharva Veda that have been interpolated. They say that a woman wants a son, a good son, then a wheel of a car should be given to her to eat. There are 2-3 quotations. I have it. But these are the fact. But they became a political issue. So when the BJP government came, the very first thing they started changing the books. And it created a big uproar. And the so-called the Western-minded, politicians, used their historians who wrote the book. They were also converted Christians. They did not have any sense of the devotional aspect. Because in Christianity, the modern thing is that animals don't have soul. And here we are. We are wasting our property. The cow is our property. The mother can become a property. How is it possible? The most worshipable thing becomes the commodity. Sellable market. So in that response, there were no clues. So now the government has restored it back. In Krishna Kaurisha's point of view, when we confront with this issue of the big eating, we know that because when Kali started, it corrupted the Brahminical society, and under the false pretense of Vedic sacrifices, which require Gomedhya, means sacrifice of the cow, they started doing on the basis of eating as a sacrifice. Prabhupada said they were not qualified even in Kali Yuga to perform this yajna. It is not recommended. In Kali Yuga, the only yajna which is recommended is Sankirtan yajna, of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But yet they were doing it in the name of sacrifice. But they don't understand the another historical reference which Lord Buddha came to stop it. At that time Yajurveda were there, and Lord Buddha was successful at that expense of even removing the Vedic authority. So whatever was in Atharva Veda was nullified by Buddha, and he stopped animal killing. Nimda sijatya videya sutti jatam sadaya radaya darshita prasankantam keshava drita buddha sharira jaya jagadisha. My dear Lord, but you as my dear Lord Krishna, you assume the form of Lord Buddha to stop the miscreants who were defiling the yajna vidhi by sacrificing innocent animals. So in that historical reference, Krishna consciousness point of view is very, very positively denying the so-called Atharva Veda quotations that Congress is doing. It doesn't satisfy. So the cows are so precious, but yet because of some vidharmas. You know the history of even Christianity. Nowhere in the Bible have any time cow sacrifice has been ever recommended. Not even in the Quran. In Quran it is said that Allah doesn't like the blood or the flesh as a sacrifice, but by your virtuous deeds he will accept and grace you. What is a virtuous act? It is not a flesh or blood. But yet, the tradition has come from Christianity itself, which was interpolated by Augustine. In France, who was the apostle who went? St. Augustine? He interpolated because he was a meat eater, and he would accept Christianity only if he is allowed to understand Bible according to his way. So wherever the word fruit was there, he put up the word meat. Constantine.
He was a Roman emperor.
Roman emperor, right. So that's how the interpolation started, and it was also the same way started in the Kali Yuga by so-called scholars, the Brahminical society, Gurkha. So story remains almost identical. But Lord Buddha came as a scheduled incarnation, even though it's Jivatattva, but an empowered personality, you know, to stop this random killing, and he was successful. I mean, so you can see, it takes Lord Buddha to stop anyone killing. And animal killing is going to grow. Till the humans are also animals, they will be killed. And just was almost identically in the same numbers. So we see it is so much important to take cows. Actually, by maintaining the car, the entire economy is maintained. If we think of welfare of the car, then the entire welfare of the whole humanity is a direct parallel. There is no indirect. So we see in this so-called treacherous situation where India is the second largest beef exporter in the world, because cows are free, the goat meat, which is a small insignificant animal, it is double the price than beef. Actually, it's so pathetic for us. The cows of Vrindavan here, they are being shipped to Murshidabad near Mayapur and near the border of Bangladesh, and they are being slaughtered there. If you see the Haryana breed, which is in this area, you'll see they have been transported. Nobody can stop that. The government policy, whether in BJP or Congress, led governments, it has been identically the same of apathy. The legislators, you know, they say we have passed the law to stop the house order. But it is up to the public to execute the law, not we. This is the policy. This was spoken by one of the past chief ministers of Gujarat when they passed the law. We did our job. Now it is up to you. And it is so treacherous. Prabhupada explains this in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very vividly, there is a conspiracy. Even in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita explaining Atataina, the word Atataina means the aggressor. Who are the aggressors? There are six kinds of aggressors. One who kills, one who orders, one who sells, one who cooks, one who eats, and one who serves. They are all under conspiracy and they are equally punishable. It is said in the Shastra that as many hair follicles are there on the body of a child, the person who has killed, that many times he has to take birth and death. In other words, Krishna says that Shipami Ajasram Asuru Yogi Mahapanna Mudha Janmani Chandani. I cast this demoniac people into perpetual hell. Perpetual. Ajasram Asuru Yogi. Shipami, I told him. The Christians have a funny way to explain this, and consequences, perpetual consequences. If you don't believe in Jesus, you know, you have to face the perpetual consequences of heaven. Then what about killing a cow? Because Jesus doesn't recommend that either. So perpetual consequences are there. And they are ignorant. Okay. So those who promote meat, eat, it is going to be counterproductive. And in this way we try to, see how the cow is the most important for sustaining the entire humanity. And if we raise this consciousness, and put it into practice in our devotional service, not simply by worshipping, but by raising the consciousness surrounding our living atmosphere, we will see whether are we getting victimized or becoming consumer of such product of the swarm. This is most important. And then at least we can save ourselves and we'll promote others to save themselves. If we boycott utilization of any of this consumer products which has been out as a byproduct of slaughter, I think the industry will have a big benefit. When ISKCON started Prasadam distribution in early 70s. Early 70s, late 70s. And many other, new religious, traditions came up. And they also promoted vegetarianism. There was a sudden rise of 35% vegetarian in America. 35% rise. But still, the meat industry is the strongest. Meat industry is the strongest because they are coming agents and they want to see and the power, everything is in such industry. Even by nature, they are getting set back when mad cow disease and other things are happening all over the world. But to protect human consumption, they destroy the animal. So you see, we have to raise consciousness by becoming aware, and that for us. Always teach for the fine sentiments of humanity. Entire humanity is dependent on the welfare of cows and animals. So, by studying the nature of the cow, we see the nature of the cow is so much mild, tolerant, that she is very, very innocent. Very innocent. There are two in Vedic system. They should be led, and they are cow and a daughter. We have a saying that they are so faithful in culture, Vedic civilization, that they are led and they will go. They will be told, they will accept. You lead a cow and she will come. You lead a daughter, by arranged marriages, what it says, you know, she accepts. That is the Vedic times. A cow and a daughter, that they are so faithful in culture, Vedic civilization, that they are led and they will go. They will be told, they will accept it. You lead a cow and she will come. You lead a daughter by arranged marriages, what it says, you know, she accepts. That is the Vedic times. A cow and a daughter, they are there wherever you want them to go. So, naturally, because they are always under protection, the real protection is given in Vedic system. So there are some several books have been published about the economic on the cows, the entire point of Krishna consciousness in protecting the cows. The most beautiful aspect about sustenance of karma, of the religious principles, is explained in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when Parikshit Maharaj is facing Kali personified, who came in the dark of a king, the crown was black in color, and performing the nastiest action. He was hurting the fourth remaining leg of the bull, who was lying helplessly. He was trying to cut that off. And the cow, by the side of the bull, she has been watching and crying. She is helpless. And Parikshit Maharaj challenges. Because this is the Jaganya Vritti. Jaganya means most abominable activity by a so-called king who is a protector. So Prabhupada writes, it's the government's duty to protect all of his nationals. Cow is a national because it happened to take birth in the land of that nation. So she's a national. Seducing. Then she should be given protection. And this Kali personified was hurting, means he was not protecting. Therefore, Parikshit challenges. So any government that comes, there must be challenged. Why? In fact, you know, the government is so much under pressure from all these capitalists who are thriving on the basis of economy, of house water. The big, big lobbying agents are there to pressurize them. Because they helped him to win the election. They are under subjugation. They can't make a policy. Everybody's hands are so tied up, so much treacherously bound and conditioned that they will never be able to stop this nasty activity. Parikshit Maharaj challenged. But when we see Parikshit asking the Guru, who made this condition for you. That even the Kali was hurting the foreplay, the bull says, I don't know exactly why it is happening. So it is the time factor that he indicates is the most important too. It doesn't mean that Guru doesn't know who he is doing. But when he specifically says that, actually I don't know why this situation is there. So what do you think? The dharma nashta parantapa? What it means that time will take the toll of the religion itself. This religious practice, not the religion itself, but the religious practice. The tradition means the practice that comes down in the religion. But the religion remains intact regardless. And because we cannot follow those traditions because of influence of time, that doesn't mean dharma is not there. But dharma nashta parantapa means the religious traditions are, which are conveying the religious principles, they get destroyed. They have to be re-established to convey again. Otherwise, if one is finished or one is nashta means destroyed, how can it be regenerated? So, religious system, the system will get deteriorated, but principles of religion remains intact. So, all these conversations in this first canto with the cow and the bull, you know, and Parikshit Maharaj, they are very, very important in this to pinpoint the principles. If the principles
our religion remain intact. Our application may change. And therefore, when Kali wanted to take shelter, Kali wanted to take shelter because he realized that when such king like Parikshit is existing, it will be impossible for him to rule. Parikshit cannot be corrupted. So, trickily, he is asking shelter. And the king has to give shelter. But these are the calculated shelters here. Why calculated? Because we have a time leash to execute the principles of the and we can make solution. There's a time limit. A time calculation is there. Why Prabhupada's books are going to be the standard textbook for spiritual guidance for next 10,000 years only? Why not more? Because it's eternal. The principles enunciated, they are eternal. But the execution of the systems will deteriorate. And that has to be re-established. Otherwise, yoga nashta phalam tapa. How can you justify? Inherently, the connection between the soul and the soul by performance of bhakti, which is lying as a seed, dormant, in each and every individual's heart, it is there, and it won't fructify unless and until proper situation arises, and spiritual master will bring it on the surface and start nurturing with the holy name. And sprout of devotion will begin. The point is that dormancy is also related to the time factor. So when the religious principles are executed, and whatever it takes to uphold the religious principles, the four regulative principles are upholding the religious principles. That's why they must be performed. And we get guarantee for liberation. But when we see how the cow is serving Lord Krishna, how the cow is serving Lord Krishna, for the welfare of entire manifestation. Then the big yogis and eternally liberated soul in service of Krishna and Golokiran, when they appear in the form of cows and cows, they have their desire to be fulfilled. So in Brahma Vimohan Leela, when we see that Lord Krishna expanded himself in as the numbers of cows stolen by Brahma, along with the boys. And the cows were able to fulfill the desire of having their calf as for Krishna. By such an upsurgence in the loving attitude that they were puzzled why they are loving cows so much. All the gopis were also put into such
high ecstatic bewilderment of the love when Krishna became their son and the expanded form. So when demigods are residing in the body of a devotee who is also like benevolent Parupkaraya Jivanti Sadhava, the devotees are also following in the footsteps of Kala to become merciful in sacrificing their life for others. So we see the importance of cows, Krishna's cows.
In his career, he has not been able yet to implement cow protection on a full scale. So, but Prabhupada wanted us to drink milk to develop finer brain tissue. But at the same time, we're not able to drink milk only from protected cows. So we have to drink the milk from slaughterhouse cows. So some devotees feel, in order not to support the slaughterhouse industry, it's better to become vegans. So what do you think about that? I mean, on the one hand, we should drink milk, but there's not enough milk for protected cows, so we have the option either to support the slaughterhouse for that, or
it means if you cannot participate in cow protection, you simply air your sentiments by not partaking in the milk and milk products. Now, instead of getting into this fanaticism, when Prabhupada came to the United States, he had to use the same pasteurized milk to make sweets, alright? Which was containing fish liver oil and whatnot in vitamin A and D45. But Prabhupada was very practical. One has to go through some inconveniences, alright? But at the same time, whenever the opportunity comes, he said, we have to simply depend upon cows and land to start a community. So this is how the cow protection program was implemented. And Prabhupada was very keen. Paramahansa Prabhu was in charge. And he would write to him for encouraging results, you know. And Gita Nagari would not have any mechanical devices of the modern kind, like tractor and other things. And it was very ideal. You know, it was ideal. I remember in Mayapur about 4 or 5 years back, Jayadeva Goswami was giving, or starting to give class. And he started chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Then the big tractor rambled and passed by. The class was being conducted in Sankirtan office, in the Sankirtan building, and the tractor was there. And Jayadeva Goswami was so much disturbed that he gave the entire class on this Pagasu demon. And in Prabhupada's project, that even in Mayapur, why would they, you know, use this? Where are the cows? Where are the bulls? See, the point of implementation of this cow protection It is to be done on the note of self-sufficiency project or calculations. Rather, the cows should be taken care by animals. If you have sufficient fund, then do it. Otherwise, raise the fund for their welfare and maintain them. Do not bypass in any other. Because economically viable situation, if you start calculating, you can't calculate on the terms of keeping a mother in your house on the basis of your demands. You offer every service. So you have to raise the fund. Right? So the point is that cow is not an economically viable animal. Never treat her as an economical. So people make a program for keeping a goshala on the economics that it should be maintained within itself. No, it is not going to. The product of the cow will be same and become self-sufficient. There is no self-sufficiency coming. It is a system that has to be dependent as an integration of the whole society. If we cast the cow out of our member of the society, then we will be poor. She is like an extended family in the house. But that is the point, you know, the greedy nature, you neglect.
Agrarian lifestyle.
Yes. Agrarian lifestyle is the only Krishna conscious recommendation for it adopting. There is no other job for an ideal grahastha life than ever taken that. Vaishya. That is self-sufficient. So all these three, Krishi, Gauraksha and Manijya, three things must be set up, you know, and then there won't be any. They are all interrelated. No other jobs are going to be sustained from it. Because it won't be required. So, in Krishna consciousness, our participation in making the ideal Vaidhivanasham system based on Krishna consciousness, not other things.
So first, a viable agrarian community, then the cow protection. It's not that first you get a cow, then you find a place to have it. First you have a place, viable, various base, and then the cow comes in the second.
No, simultaneous.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some of our farms, devotees, they're born and raised in city. It's very difficult for them to learn the craft, the art of farming. And when you burden them with cows, oh my God, they can't deal with it all.
This is the Shastric recommendation for success. But because we came from very backgrounds,
yes,
not from farming at all, very few, and naturally grew up in farms. And then a mechanized farm, not an Vedic farm. So that's how the trouble gets into. But if we take this indication, because it's a direct recommendation, by Nala Mani Goyuris, say they found the ideal family life, you know, as they really do. She go with Shaman. It should be based on that. Yes.
I would just like to clarify. religious principles are eternal, and the religious practice is subject to time, the time factor. Yes? So I was wondering, the religious principles, they are not subject to the time factor.
Principles remain intact, and we have to keep the principles. Principles should not be violated. Only the application changes. So the tradition means applications. For the carry on the principles, application. So the traditions are not forever. They will be polluted, they destroyed it. एवं परंपरा प्राप्त विनोद राजश्रय विदुष कालीन महता योगो नष्ट परंत द प्रैक्टिस वॉज डिटोरियटेड नॉट द प्रिंसिपल अदरवाइज व्हाय कृष्ण इज टू री एस्टाब्लिश धारे The one that sustains our reality. Yes. So, dharmasya glani is corruption in executing the principles. Prabhupada writes this. In executing the principles, and then the corruptions are there. So, for example, the dharma is the same for the demons also. But why they are demons? Because they are not executing. They are corruptions. They are executing the principle. Corruption is due to the enviousness. So here also, it's all demoniac nature. Because of corruption of the consciousness in executing the principle. So, dharma nashta parantapa, yoga nashta parantapa means the practices are diminished. The time factor is regulated. Regulations. Because material creation has set in, it is sustained for some time, it is not just.
Funds enough to sustain.
in self-sufficiency, you can't calculate, oh, this cow lives for 15 years and we will have to generate this much expenditure from her products, the milk, for this, for that. No. Many a times, such cow protein may sound to be very ambitious, but fail. Even now, especially. We had 600 cows. We put up 2 dairy store, automatic milking parlors, and even the cheese making factory, and this and that. Lot of offenses. So we can't do this kind of trial, and we have to go by the very version. One person is a farm, and he's running the whole operation. There are other youngsters trying to make the ideal family life of the system. So when dependency is to be certainly based on first protection at any cost, and then you simply, you do not have to partake in the funds that come for the cows and use for yourself directly. You follow my point? You have to raise donations to maintain the cows, right? And if there is any envious mentality and withdraw the fund for yourself rather than for the cows, it's an offense.
Was it in Vedic times also that vaishyas, they need to raise the funds for?
In Vedic times, they did not have to ask for donation.
Because the entire society was agrarian. The whole society was agrarian. And the vanijya business is a barter system, exchanges, one commodity to another. And in this way, they were sufficiently taken care of.
The cows were so much in abundance that they were given to charity 100,000 at a time. On Krishna's appearance day, Nanda Maharaj gave how many thousands of cows in charity? It's not overcrowdedness of cows or anything.
Is it all right?
There were no fundraising programs in Vedic times for the cow protection, because cows were protected and maintained, and that the whole society would depend on it. No slaughter, no meat business. Because there is meat business, we have to raise funds. Because there are slaughterhouses, we have to raise fund for the protection. Okay?
All right. Thank you very much. All those who support that.